Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Chuck Bonnell. This is Julie Hayden, and we've got the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. The law to talk about today.
Why on a Saturday?
We won the grassroots arm of the party.
Saturday for the ages.
But the uniparty establishment rhinos wanted to try to steal the victory. So to kind of explain everything, we wanted to bring on Jeremy Goodall. He is a bonus member of the State Central Committee from El Paso County, also the chair of the Republican CD4. So, Jeremy, hey, thank you.
And he did a great job at the microphone, fighting the fight against the forces of evil.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I've had to get a lot of experience with that over the last few years.
So what happened is at the meeting, and we're going to kind of, I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but we have to get in the weeds. So as you know, we've been fighting for years for Colorado to opt out of the disastrous semi-open primary that was set up and forced upon us by the Democrats, and we've never won since. Back in April of last year, 2024, the like 2,000 delegates to the state assembly voted to state convention voted to opt out of the open primary as was needed and met the requirements for state law that needed to be certified. I thought one person explained it well, kind of like Congress certifies a presidential election, the Electoral College. They don't redo it. They don't take a new vote. They don't, you know, debate it all over again. It's just an administrative thing, really. And that was the purpose of the meeting on Saturday. And in spite of the rhinos and Brittlehorn, the chair party, in spite of everything they threw at us, Jeremy and others fought the good fight. And the Republican Party, SCC, did indeed vote significantly.
Over 60%.
Right, to certify the opt-out vote. And John Temple this morning, sent a letter to the Secretary of State as required by state law, saying, "Dear Secretary Griswold, on behalf of the Colorado Republican State Central Committee and jointly with Chairwoman Brittlehorn, you are hereby notified by us that today, September 27th, 2025, the Colorado Republican State Central Committee officially convened and affirmatively voted to opt out of the 2026 semi-open primary per state law. Please ensure that the Colorado Republican Party is not included in the 2026 semi-open primary." Hooray!
Yay!
How significant is this? Well, the story is not over, but
that's a good point.
Unfortunately, but that is a significant, a truly significant development. Effectively, we had several thousand rank and file delegates, county officers, elected officials, all sorts of Republicans, the broadest possible cross-section at that convention in Pueblo. And they stood overwhelmingly. There's video. There's incontrovertible. Like, it's the room stands.
Right.
And it's... it was huge. I was in the room. I was a voting member. I was there.
Yeah, so
I remember it was a shocking and breathtaking moment. And when the rhino side of things wants to clamor about unity and unifying as a party, I refer to that moment.
Right.
That room was every aspect of the state. People from urban environments, suburban, rural, universities, colleges, businesses, churches, all sorts of Republicans from everywhere making their opinion known. Now, there is a huge argument, and I'm not going to litigate the other side's case for them, but let's just presuppose that they're correct, that wasn't legally binding on us. Well, on Saturday, The SCC took up the motion, took up that language, and put it on our own heads.
Right.
The SCC has voted to adopt, ratify, accept, however you want to put it. We've bound ourselves to that language. And it's not my assertion that we did so. Britta Horn said into the mic, the motion passes.
Yeah. And what they're going to try, and what, well, it's somewhat, it's just, it's a lie is what they're saying now. So Britta Horn said back to Jennifer Griswold, no, John Temple can't say that. That's not what they did.
What she said?
She said that they didn't pass it. And they did pass it.
She's lying.
I mean, they did
she's
pass
lying.
It.
And
they're
thankfully,
trying to
there's
say,
video of this meeting as well. Like, so there's an objective record.
Right.
And I don't know why I don't know why these folks choose to lie about obvious and checkable things. Like,
because they don't
objective
like the answer.
Record.
Like, and I'll tell you why. You want to follow the money, because the dark money donors don't want us to opt out so we can elect our own candidates. They want to tell us what candidates they have bought and paid for, and that's who they want us
well,
to
they,
elect.
Well, they announced that at the meeting because it was over 60% that voted to confirm the opt-out. Within the 30-plus percent was our four congresspersons.
Yeah.
And a majority, if not a significant majority, of our elected officials and DAs. And if anything else tells you that these semi-open primaries do not reflect the will of the Republican voters, but rather the will of Democrats and independents, it's an indication that our elected officials, chosen by this semi-open primary, do not like the people they purport to represent.
This has been the case for years. And those of us that have been deep in this fight have been paying attention. We've seen this and noticed it. And this is why it stinks.
Yeah.
Is because it's rotting from the head down.
And then we could talk maybe briefly about, I think train wreck is being mean to train wrecks.
Yeah.
Like, you ever heard of it? This was, a debacle of unprecedented. I mean, even people, I was sitting by some people who were clear, they were voting the opposite way I was voting, okay? Even they were like shaking their head in astonishment at how awful of a meeting Britta Horn ran. I mean, it was chaotic. She didn't follow the rules. I mean, she didn't even adjourn the, I mean, it was, and then at the end, oh, I want to point this out. Keep in mind, the biggest dark money donor of all is Phil Anschutz, and whose name was on the very building that we were meeting in, Jeremy?
Owned and operated by Phil Anschutz.
Well, I think about the only way it could have gone even more off the rails is if Britta had brought in, I don't know, Democrat Titone to be the bathroom monitor. Like, that's, I honestly, I don't know what she could have done to make that whole process go worse.
Well, and
everybody is resigning.
She
everybody's resigning under her watch. She had the vice chair resign.
Yeah, she burned through staff like meat through, like fire.
Well,
through
the parliamentarian quit right before
the
this.
The parliamentarian quit, and so they had to bring in. Do we know what Archibald's poor guy's last name is?
I believe it's Archibald Allison, and what I've seen through some email threads, he's not an attorney.
He's a pastor.
Which was really shocking that he was up there telling
legal opinions,
telling members of the SEC who are attorneys
what the statute
what
meant.
The law says. I didn't realize that was that's some chutzpah.
Yeah.
Well, he looked like a deer in the headlights. I mean, those eyes are open. You get up on the podium, and he is a kind of a hirsute pastor, and he kind of read like he's reading scriptures.
Yeah.
And then the whole group would kind of go, "No, we appeal that," and they'd have a vote, and it'd be overwhelmingly rejected. And you have to sit down. He'd get up, give another kind of bought and paid for rendition, and it would be appealed and overturned.
Yeah, what was astounding to me is that Britta brought him in ostensibly as an undeclared chairman pro tem.
Yes, explain what you mean
and,
by that.
Yeah, well, okay. So if the chair doesn't want to or is incapable of running the meeting, they are to appoint, and this is in Robert's Rules of Order, They're to appoint a chairman pro tem for that meeting. It doesn't, that way they don't have to resign the position of chairman for the organization or party. Yeah. They can just say, hey, I can't make it for this meeting, but here's my, the guy to run the meeting in my stead.
Right.
But the chair has to say that, has to declare that, has to stamp that. And instead we had Mr. Archibald rushing to the mic every time Britta seemed to lose her train of thought. unless he was blocked aside by the vice chair.
Buckley Horrorthorpe.
Filibuster with, stories of...
Yeah. Of cowboy-y stuff.
Yeah. Cowboy, yeah, like mildly amusing.
Well, so the bottom line here is, and I know there's stuff, I mean, on social media, Heidi Gnall with Rocky Mountain Voice is wrong.
Heidi always wants to hide. She wants to pretend that she's kind of a person for all the factions when she's always been just a rhino in full.
Because she voted by proxy against this.
Yeah, but moreover, she put out, for one, both the pro and the con for the opt-out. But when it came down, then she announced personally, I've decided this is what we decided. Yes, we decided. Oh yeah, we love.
She was at the meeting.
She wasn't even at the meeting, but she goes, "Oh yeah, that's right. The establishment wins. Yeah, yeah. But we must all unify. Start registering more Republicans, because they won't get the vote either."
Yeah, you all saw my video that I set out. Roughly 5 minutes kind of explaining the different motions and what I saw of the day. But the feedback I've gotten from that is rather numerous. And I've only sent that, I haven't sent that out to media outlets or anything like that. I'm not courting that. I am trying to keep this as an internal discussion because that's where it belongs. Right. This is a Republican conflict,
right,
for lack of a better word, but I'm not looking to try this in the court of public opinion, because we're supposed to decide what we as Republicans stand for, how we operate, and what we're going to do. If we can't lead ourselves, what business do we have telling the members and the citizens of this state that they should entrust us with leading the government of this state?
Yeah. Well,
and that's,
Well, and here's 2 points to what you made. Number one, if we were going to do it in the court of public opinion is clearly for the opt-out. So we win on all counts. And I think we can't explain it enough, because the other side is trying to hide this and pretend that this is a whole vote on opting out. It was not. The party already voted to opt out. This was simply affirming it. And it's like when you approve the minutes, or no, that's not even a good example, but why don't you explain really what was the point and what was the outcome of Saturday's meeting?
Okay, so since the rank and file members of the party are so wanting to get out of this semi-open primary, we've had to consider and basically realize that a small contingent, 25% is all that's necessary to derail under the simple, like, third grade level reading of the initiative.
Less than that, because it includes people who don't vote.
So even the folks that can't make it to the meeting get lumped in with the no votes.
Yeah,
which is just wrong. No votes.
Well, the Democrats did that on purpose so that we couldn't opt out. We got to remember that. Yes. They specifically
set an absurdly high threshold to handcuff us. Well, you have to fight absurdity by being absurd. Like, that's just how it works. And the way I kind of have taken to explain this to people is, imagine that your HOA has given you an unjustified fine of $500. You know it's going to take $750 to hire an attorney and fight it. But why would you do that? Okay. But what you can do is, instead of paying them $500 in a check or cash, is collect 10,000 nickels and deliver it to their front door. Huh. And that's basically what we've decided to do, is to creatively work around their absurd rules by employing a little bit of absurdity and creativity in our own part. I would point out that when you do something like hand them 110 pounds of nickels, you're also sort of implying that next time it might be 275 pounds of pennies delivered via catapult. We can go even crazier. Like, if you want to play stupid games, let's play. And that's sort of the way we have to kind of defeat this sort of thing. Because when they want to get absurd, you have to respond in kind. It's violence has to be met with violence. Respect has to be met with respect. Absurdity has to be met with absurdity.
Well, and their lies have to be met with the truth. Again, from the beginning, they've been trying to pretend that no, this was an opt-out vote. This was the fifth time the Republican Party majority has voted to say we want to opt out. And thank God, and God bless John Temple, because the party at this meeting also because we knew Britta wasn't going to do anything, or we suspected as much. I'm surprised that she just flat out lied about it, but we figured she wasn't going to hustle and get the letter out to the Secretary of State. So the committee also voted to have John Temple be able to send it as well.
She even said, and it'll be on your recording, yes, okay, I invite John Temple, and everyone can come. You can all go over there. So John Temple said, fine, let's go over. Oh, no.
She doesn't want to actually be held accountable to what comes out of her own mouth?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's not her fault.
And we'll be talking to Cody LeBlanc earlier, because also in anticipation, because they were lying going into the meeting, so we knew what their tactic was. They were going to try to say, oh, no, we have to vote on the opt-out. And I think she intentionally, this was also funny, they had the police, Steve Reams, the Weld County Sheriff, who's turned into I don't know what. Stood up there with him and was shouting at everybody had to leave the building. So I don't know what on God's green earth plan she had to have this kind of meeting that she knew was going to be contentious and long. And she only booked the building till like 1 o'clock.
Well, here's the good part. Yeah. She because the Republican Party is broke, right, under her. But she decided she was going to have 10 armed uniformed police officers to
being paid for being off duty.
Yeah, look over a few hundred geriatric Republicans. Because those guys on the canes and the walkers and the wheelchairs, they're a mean group. And you need at least 10 armed guards.
Get between them and a buffet, man. Look out.
So they were set to sabotage this from the beginning. And in fact, they rigged the agenda. We voted to change that. They tried to rig all kinds of votes. And in anticipation of that, Cody LeBlanc had already been talking about legal recourse. And we'll talk to him about that, too, because, I mean, if she thinks and if the establishment thinks that they can just continue to ignore the overwhelming will of the Colorado Republican Party, they're wrong. You know, we will prevail in the end, and we're not going to give up and go away.
Oh, and when we are successful, they're in a real quandary, because having fought us for so long, if we are successful in expelling them,
right,
where are they going to go? They haven't made themselves useful. They haven't made themselves indispensable through positive means. They're effectively parasites. And
yeah, well, and here's
parasites don't get mourned.
Yeah. And here's Johnny Johnson, one of our listeners who we're going to have on the show Wednesday, brings up his point is exactly why we voted to opt out and why it's such a good thing. He says, well, I have to be rich to run for HD5. You know what, Johnny? under their system and the system that they're proposing, not only do you have to be rich, you won't even be able to run. They will squash you before you even get there, right? That is their point. They don't want people like Johnny Johnson running because they don't control him. And that's why they don't want us to opt out of the semi-open primary. They want Democrats to continue to meddle in it. As we keep saying, it's like they want the Kansas City Chiefs to handle the Denver Broncos draft picks,
because
right?
They're Kansas City Chiefs themselves.
Right. You know, they want the rich donors who you know, fund. I mean, it's no surprise that our elected officials, all congressional people who are, you know, bought and paid for by Americans for Prosperity, don't want grassroots people selecting candidates. They want the rich people selecting candidates. And Johnny, yeah, I'm afraid you might not be on their short list.
No, but if we can move to an assembly only process. And someone, one of the emails I got from the other side, how did he put it? Oh, you're going to put it in the hands of party insiders. And I was like, look, the current system we're under is funded by a primarily uniparty establishment. It's being voted in by non-Republicans, and it's being administered and the rules given to us by Democrats. This is not a Republican process that's selecting our candidates. I'm totally fine rolling the dice and moving it to a single day, live bodied, paper ballot, hand counted by that are cast by identified Republicans. Like, that's
crazy.
Why would we be afraid of a Republican process?
I mean, hey, come to think of it though, that's the way we used to do it.
Oh, yeah. Back when we ran the state.
Well, and here's the thing too, and that's another one of their lies. There is, if, well, since we have opted out, the party then now can decide how we want to run our primaries. You could do something as simple as designating every Republican party for purposes of the primary a delegate. I mean, it doesn't have to be party inside. There are any number of ways that they can do it, and they won't the only people they will disenfranchise is Democrats, who we don't want voting in our primary anyway. So,
well, we don't, but apparently
they do. Well, and I think,
and they're willing to lie, cheat, and fight.
So, where do you see? I mean, I was surprised. To be honest, you'd think if you were Britta, you would just say, okay, fine, right? And throw it up and let Jenna Griswold decide. I mean, that would unify the party to a certain extent, at least, right? It would be, because who knows what Jenna Griswold's going to do? I mean, she's Jenna Griswold after all. So yeah. If you're Britta, why not just go ahead? That. Yeah, go ahead and say, okay, the party has spoken not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times. This is what they want. They did it legally. Here's the letter. I agree with John Temple here. Why do you think she just doesn't do that?
Well, because she needs, like, she's on the leash of her handlers, and they've promised her money.
She hasn't gotten any.
No.
She hasn't gotten any.
I've heard
and that. That, to me, is actually the saddest part of the whole thing, is that we're getting sold out not for an actual check, but for the promise of a check.
Right.
And I don't know how you do business, but I don't give up product or any of my services until I've been paid for. I don't do it on the promise of payment.
Well, that becomes a whole other thing, too. And we didn't even get into this. The other thing that we did is we voted to fire her personal attorney and say who's acting. He's both, being both the defendant and the plaintiff attorney in the case, which you can't do. And let the legal affairs committee hire a neutral attorney. Once again, why is she opposed to that? Why is she willing to destroy the party over these very common sense things?
That was actually, to me, the most surprising moment of the entire circus we went through, was that Britta ran that via a voice vote and then seemed to recognize and drop her head in absolute resignation and mutter, "Motion passes."
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was like, she was well within her right to be like, neener, neener, neener. Chair doesn't question. Like, but she even recognized that the will of that body in that room was dead set against everything she was doing.
Yes. And again, you'd think, and you got to ask yourself, and I just say here too, follow the money, right? Why?
Follow the not lack of money.
Follow the not money.
Follow, Well, follow the money, not the money, because here's the thing that people need to understand too, and I keep talking about this, is I believe Britta Horn was put in place and she is a puppet, and they want her to destroy the party and make it meaningless because they want us to go to jungle primaries where we don't have really any say. I mean, if we go to a jungle primary, a Republican will never be elected, and they
Oh
don't.
yeah, it'll become California. That's the fast train to California. If
Exactly. And they
not
don't
that they have
want.
high speed trains, but like
Yeah, they're not.
that particular rail will get greased with all kinds of money.
Exactly. And none of it's going to come to the Colorado Republican Party. And I think, Charlene earlier was mentioning, thank goodness, what would we do if they ever actually had competent establishment leaders? And that's true. I mean, she was there. And I think the powers that be behind Britta in their own way are happy. Well, they're the ones who are forcing her to create all of this chaos. She could simply say, okay, the people have spoken over and over and again, up to Jenna Griswold. And then if Jenna Griswold fights it, well, then that's on Jenna Griswold. But at least she
Well,
would
such action requires, in my opinion, a couple of factors that I don't think Britta possesses. Grace and humility.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did you remember? That's right. Chief, I forgot the best part of the meeting. Well, was when we won, was the best part. But the second best part was when she channeled her own Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow,
If
who
she can
forgave
forget
the assassin and said, I am like Erica Kirk and I forgive you. She forgives us?
She forgives her own State Central Committee.
Oh, after whipping us with like the olive branch of peace for over an hour, that was shocking. On that particular point, though, there's a young man in our in El Paso County, and he actually grew up with Charlie Kirk, like went to high school together. He actually knew him, was actually in that garage office space when Turning Point was just an idea. And when she pulled and horned in on the grief of Charlie Kirk's widow, he had to leave the room.
Yeah,
It
I can
was
imagine.
so unbelievably, shockingly offensive to his sensibility. That was where I wasn't even like looking at her. I was looking at him going like, because I thought he may lose his
His. Well, it's
any
the thing. She
component.
ran for chair, right? She knew what she ran for chair. She saw what the vote was. She, narrowly beat Lori Sain. She should not be shocked that some people have political ideas different from hers. And for her to suggest that she can, that we need to be forgiven for fighting for the future of the party that she's trying to destroy is astonishing to me. Well, Jeremy, listen, we've got Cody on, so I want to let you go. But I mean, any
Yeah,
final.
again, great job getting up there and fighting
Oh,
right in front of
for
the
everything.
microphone because
Well,
it.
it's easy to do when you've got the body when you've got the body behind you.
Yeah, that's true.
No, thank you for your.
It's easy to argue forcefully for the majority.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Good
Jeremy, put
job.
off.
Good
Thank you
job.
so much there.
Thanks.
And then, as we mentioned before, we no one is shocked. I mean, disappointed, obviously, but not shocked that Britta Horn is trying or attempting to ignore
The will of the people.
the vote of the people. And Cody LeBlanc, and we've had him on before, he and Eric Grossman have been fighting this fight for a long time with Colorado Doge. And so I wanted to get him on. And Cody, I take it, are not shocked either that Britta Horn is now saying, no, they didn't vote that at all. What that yes vote that you heard was not a yes vote.
Yeah, I mean, nothing their side does anymore surprises me. If you can hear me okay, I apologize.
Yeah,
I'm not
we got
live.
you. It's okay.
We're good.
But, and if I get cut off, Britta's former attorney, who's now still representing the party somehow, keeps calling me. So
Did you
I
tell
had
him he
to
was fired? Did you say, Steve, you were fired?
I did
Not
when he
gonna
called me
go
on
on a
Saturday.
date with you, Steve. Just not gonna
So,
do it.
yeah. So, anyhow, if I cut out for any reason, I'll decline his call again. But I've declined it
Okay.
like 6 times just waiting to get in. So,
Okay. So, but you're okay. So go ahead. You were not shocked and you were prepared. So why didn't you explain to folks what's going on here?
yeah, I mean, we know how the other side works, and I heard you guys talking with Jeremy about everything that went down on Saturday morning. I mean, just the incompetence, as far as I'm concerned, is what was on full display on Saturday. And you see the incompetence mixed with the vitriol that they have for conservatives in the Colorado Republican Party. And honestly, this goes throughout the entire country. There is a vitriolic hatred of conservative ideology wanting to bring the Republican Party back to our platform. What a novel concept.
Yeah.
And so when I went in on Saturday, I knew that it was likely not going to go our way, even if it passed, which is why I preemptively filed this case, this l new lawsuit on Friday. And I filed it as pro se, so I don't have an attorney, which is wonderful right now, which means I get the phone calls from Steve Klenda.
And
So,
what does the lawsuit that you filed seek to do?
yeah, so this lawsuit is asking, as a delegate of the 2024 Assembly, I am suing the Colorado Republican Party to hold them accountable for the vote that we passed as delegates in 2024. So when we directed the State Central Committee to opt us out of the primary, I don't have the lawsuit in front of me. I apologize. As I
That's
said, I'm in
okay.
the car and can't get my tablet to turn on. But
That's
the
okay.
Colorado statute is very clear that the assembly, as the larger body, can set the rules for the way that the organization operates. And so that resolution that was passed at assembly directed the state party, the central committee, to opt us out. There's no question about it. It's a ministerial vote. I mean, even Chairman Williams knew that. And now it's just, with Britta in charge, it wasn't a shock that they would try it. So, being that the deadline is October 1st, that's why I filed it last week, just to make sure we had all of the balls running
Right.
before the time ran out. So, the original lawsuit, not much has changed to it. Actually, the only thing that's changed, I did file an amended complaint today that has just a couple of the updates from what was discussed on Saturday, and the body did vote in favor of the
Right.
opt-out.
Which
And
very
did you have some additional people join you as plaintiffs? I did. So this morning, 11 people, their motions were submitted to join that case as a plaintiff, and I believe I've got about 12 more sitting in my email inbox.
Hey, two more
So.
here if you want to. Two more here if you need it.
Absolutely. My goal is to have as many of them as possible this evening so that we can get them submitted tomorrow. If we could have 100 people on this lawsuit, that would be awesome.
Well, and
And so.
here's I think what's particularly vicious about Britta and Steve Klenda is that so the original challenge that you had filed that the judge dismissed the case that was months and months ago. And so okay, fine, right? But what Britta is doing, and so Klenda can line his pockets, is she's having him continue to pursue it to seek attorney's fees. Now, $100,000. So they are going after you, and I'm so grateful to you, Cody, because she's going after you personally to try to viciously to try to f make sure that you don't ever do anything like that again. You don't ever question the great Britta Horn again. And God bless you for standing up there saying, okay, boom, here's your new lawsuit then. Because it won't work. She can't shut us up and intimidate us like that. But I mean, it's number one, I'm kind of assuming that you and Eric Grossman don't have a spare $100,000 sitting around. So it's just stupid on their part. Number two, the courts never grant that anyway.
Well, and I wanted to comment on that piece because that was something else that Britta was sharing that was factually incorrect on Saturday.
Okay.
So the original lawsuit was something that Dave Williams, Anna, and Hope had filed as the Colorado Republican Party against Britta, Eli Brummer, Nancy Pelosi, the Coup Crew, as I
Right.
lovingly refer to them.
Yes.
And so that was to recoup the $100,000 originally that the party lost. And so upon Britta's election, we knew, well, they're going to try and dismiss this case. So the investigative committee tried to join. Their motion was denied. Eric and I tried to join as the people who filed the original controversy with the state party to take over the case. Our motion was never even heard. Our
Right.
motion was never decided on. We were never admitted into the case or denied from the case.
So how can they seek attorney's fees from you?
Exactly. So that's our position. I mean, you sit here going, wait, why are they suing us? We had nothing to do. We filed a motion that said we want to join this lawsuit,
And
and
it
now
was
they're
never
suing
addressed,
us.
so you never joined the lawsuit.
Well, but it
Yeah.
costs Clint another $100,000 to object to your joining the lawsuit.
Well, because exactly, Cody, you clearly have not learned your lesson, right? Then you must bow down to the coup crew and you know, and never question them at all. And if you don't, they're going to try to bankrupt. Well, you know, like you said, I don't even see how they could go. You were never part of you were never part of the case, so how can they seek leave? But that doesn't seem to bother them, though, you know,
No,
so.
and they're suing our attorneys too. So that's the other piece, is it's not just us personally. They're also suing our attorneys. And so that's the part that they're trying to make a statement with. They want to make sure that all attorneys fear the thought of ever even considering
Gee,
suing the Republican
where have
Party.
we heard that before? Under the Biden administration, Department of Justice, where they went after John Eastman, every attorney who represented Donald Trump, they tried to destroy. So here they're doing the same tactic, right? Using lawfare to try to destroy any attorney who represents people who dare question them.
I mean, it's straight out of the Democrat playbook, but that shouldn't surprise me with the chairwoman that we have.
What is now? Do you can you talk about what Clenda wants, or is he just calling you
Well,
constantly?
so I can tell you what he called about on Saturday, and how that conversation went, because it made me rather happy. So, as many people know, I'm not a bonus member to the State Central Committee anymore. Weld County and the establishment up here in Rhino Land did their best to keep us out. So they have almost total control, but one snuck by that was not fully with their side. And so she was able to give me her proxy to go to the meeting on Saturday.
All right.
So that's why I got to be there and cause all the trouble that I did. So anyhow, moving forward, the State Central Committee voted to fire Clenda. They voted to dismiss him at the meeting on Saturday. So Saturday night, I think we left there, what, about 2:30 is when we all finally got to our cars and drove away. It was about 5:30 that night. I got a phone call, actually five phone calls from an unknown number that I finally answered, rather angrily. He kept demanding to speak to Cody LeBlanc, and I wouldn't tell him that that was me until he told me who he was. And so he said it was Steve Klenda, and I just simply said, "Oh, well, it's my understanding that as of about 3.5 hours ago, you were terminated as the state party's attorney. So why are you calling me?" And he said, "Well, I'm still filing the motion to dismiss your case, and I wanted to confer with you and go through the reasons why I'm moving for dismissal to see if you'll join, if we can submit it jointly, and you'll just dismiss your case." And I said,
By
"Well,
the way, this is costing the party $100,000 again, too. So,
And keep in mind that in the lawsuit, this new lawsuit, there's no mention of money. I'm not suing for money. We're suing, asking for them to force Britta to report the opt-out, or failing that, put a stay on the law so that we have time to file after October 1st if we have to go through this whole rigmarole all over again." That's all that this lawsuit is. There's no money involved aside from what the state party is paying Clenda, even though we fired him on Saturday. And so then today I filed the other motion, the amendment to the original complaint. And then I also filed a motion to disqualify Clenda from representing the party.
Since he was fired.
Exactly. And so I submitted both of those this morning, and then I emailed those to Britta. Because when you're pro se, your attorneys aren't conversing with one another. So they directed me just to send it to the defendant. So I sent it to info at Colorado GOP and Britta at Colorado GOP. And about 20 minutes later, I got an email from Clenda asking me for the correct case number, because he said the one I have is wrong, which it's not. It just hasn't been updated into the system, because our judicial system is part of the bureaucracy that is our government. And also asking that I only converse with him moving forward, and send everything directly to him.
Which is actually that's another whole kind of ethical conflict of interest, right? If he's been fired and he's refusing to acknowledge the firing, I mean, that's a wacky thing, right? I mean, you know.
Has he made an entry of appearance?
Not that I know of. So as of this morning, nothing had been filed, but I believe that's because there's no case number on online.
Online.
Because once there is, then you'll have to confer with him for your motion before you do.
Yeah. Let me
Anyway.
call you because I'm going to have to run and I want to,
No,
and
you're
Chuck will
good.
continue this. So, no, you stay. I just have to
Yeah,
run.
she goes.
She goes, Chuck stays. But I want to, before I go, give you an opportunity. You and Eric and Cairo Doge, once again, this is going to take money. And where can people, and I'll let you explain where people can go to contribute to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things. So the original lawsuit and the suit that they're now suing us over, that is one that Eric and I are in together and in the thick of it. And I want to make it clear that Eric's not a co-plaintiff on this new case. But however it works, Colorado Doge is a nonprofit we set up, a Colorado nonprofit. And for all of my haters out there, it is not tax deductible. We are not a 501c3, but we are a Colorado nonprofit. So you can donate at colodoge.com,
One more time. One more
colodoge.com,
time.
colodoge.com, colo.
COLO, then Doge.
.com.
Dot
And so
com.
that's a great place to donate. And you can, the money goes directly into the Colorado Doge account. And that's so far funded some of our attorneys, some of the investigative attorney, the investigative committee's attorney. We filed a couple of court requests and other matters because we're truly not just using it as a way to raise money for our legal defense fund, as some
Right,
people want
right.
to claim. It is a great way to be able to bring those resources together. Other people have been very gracious to help cover some of the filing costs on the pro se case, and they've just Venmoed me, but I'd rather see all future contributions go through Colorado Doge. It's a huge undertaking, as we all know, to take on the
Yes,
establishment,
absolutely, absolutely.
especially when they have Anschutz money, like we saw being at the Anschutz
I'm not
trial.
sure what money they have. They're not sure what money they have, and that's why, in part, why they're so upset at you and everyone else. Let me talk about what I thought was incredibly interesting. Did you ever see the movie The Usual Suspects?
I don't believe so, Chuck.
Okay, well, it's just one of the great movies of all time, and in it, there's a character everybody always refers to as Kaiser Sose. And they don't know if he's a mythical character. They don't know if he's a real person, but he's always, everything that happens, people go, "That's Kaiser Sose. It's Kaiser Sose. Kaiser Sose." And they go, No, Kaiser Sose didn't exist. Yes, he does. Yes, it's Kaiser Sose." And I felt like that at the meeting, because at the meeting, everything that was done, the establishment go, "That was Dave Williams. That was Dave Williams. He is Kaiser Sose." They are so terrified of Dave Williams that he's everywhere, controlling everything and tracking every movement they have. It's hilarious.
I mean, you watch what, and they've been that way for a long time. I mean, I think we talked about it months ago. Trump derangement syndrome, Dave derangement syndrome. These people are just, they're whacked out over it. And I mean, whether you like Dave or not, I respect the job that Dave did for the Colorado Republican Party. And I mean, the difference that I see, the biggest difference, aside from principle, between Britta and Dave, is that Dave was somebody that when he messed up, we could pick up the phone and call him and say, "Hey,
Right,
Dave,
right.
this could have been handled differently," or "Why was this done this way?" and have that conversation. And honestly, I'd tell him that he was full of crud from time to time.
Sure, so did I.
Britta, on the other hand, you can't talk to her. She hardly responds to anybody that's not part of her coup crew. And I mean, it was abundantly clear during the meeting on Saturday that she, if it wasn't written in the script that her handlers gave her, she didn't know how to respond when a motion was made or somebody asked a question because it wasn't in her script. And that to me is just absolutely unacceptable for the chairman of one of the largest political organizations in the state of Colorado.
Well, she's wonderfully inept. She literally can't perform the functions of a party chair, and she certainly can't run a meeting. And then it's always a question of, is it Buckwheat Holtorf who's running the meeting? Is it Archibald Allison, or is this guy named Allen out of CD4, is a district attorney who keeps on popping up? And it's sad. It's
Yeah.
sad, and it's pathetic.
No, and before I get too far off track for a second, I did want to mention for any of the people who wanted to join this new lawsuit for the opt-out,
Right.
we have a form that they can just sign and send over. So just they can email me and I can put it in the chat on here. But for those listening
Yeah,
that
put it on
can't
the
see the
chat here,
form,
but announce what it is because not everybody gets a chat.
my personal email is Cody, Cody dot LeBlanc, LeBlanc dot personal at gmail.com. Just shoot me an email and I can send that form over to you. And I'd love to have as many people as possible join this suit. What we're mainly looking for, just on that note, are people who were delegates or alternate delegates that were raised to delegates at the 2024 assembly. So if they're a central committee member, that's great, that's bonus points. But we really want the delegates from the assembly, because the delegates from the assembly were the ones that are hurt by this decision. We made our
Right.
position clear. And so as a delegate, that's the position that I'm bringing this case, is as a delegate of the 24 assembly. So that's what I'm seeking from anybody else.
So once again, Cody LeBlanc dot personal dot
At gmail.com.
at gmail.com. Yeah,
So
everybody's as many people as possible, because this is going to be moving fast. I mean, the court is gonna it's the court is gonna hopefully look at it and go, oh, I got, one way or the other, we've got to address this right away.
And it is filed as a forthwith motion, so it should hopefully be heard as soon as possible. There was a wonderful gentleman at the clerk's desk today when I was filing that he hand delivered the paperwork upstairs to the civil department so that it could get processed quickly.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
This is truly an all hands on deck, though, and not one person is responsible. I mean, just because I filed the original lawsuit, it's because I am available. I want to, and I'm willing to. And so when all of us were talking and said somebody needs to do this, I just said, well, why don't I put pen to paper, put my money where my mouth is, and go ahead and file this lawsuit?
Yeah,
And
that's
if people
great.
want to join, that's what we need to do. But this becomes a case for all of us that want to see the primaries closed. And not even, let me clarify, it's not even just seeing the primaries closed. It's those of us that want to see Republicans select Republican candidates and not allow these unaffiliated and Democrats to keep picking our candidates. If you want to be a Republican, be a Republican. If you want to pick the Republican candidates, be a Republican. Don't allow just any Tom, Dick, and Harry to pick our candidate.
And the problem is under our system, the place we can appeal to are the courts. But as people have found out, the courts in Colorado, from the district court up to the Colorado Supreme Court, do not necessarily think we get to choose our own candidates. The Supreme Court voted that Donald Trump could not be on the ballot, and it got smacked down by the U.S. Supreme Court, saying, no, you don't get to decide who their candidate should be or shouldn't be. And that's the problem we have, is there's not a single active judge in Colorado on the state side that hasn't been appointed by a Democratic governor. Not one. I mean, there may be a few emeritus ones, but not a single active judge is a Republican. And so they've done, 10 years ago, we used to have drew up a map. And the legislature says it's up to the legislature to draw up the map. Legislature drew up the map, and the Colorado Supreme Court went, no, we get to draw the map, and drew it up in such a way as that it's been controlled by the Democrats ever since then. So when you have a Supreme Court that is that biased, that unfair, it kind of reminds me of what's happening down in Brazil, where they have judicial tyranny. We face some real problems that there isn't any judges who are not Democrats on the state level, and therefore you're asking Democrats to do the right things by Republicans, and it's pretty tough. I know we very much tried to get Judge Kane. We filed in federal suit, a federal suit to opt out and so forth, and I don't think a single a, not a single argument. I think we made, I don't know, 25 arguments. He accepted not a single one. Not a single one. Not a single, someone. Did he kind of go, well, yeah, that's true. No, he had some reason why we can't win anything. So I'm just hoping we get a fair judge. I'm sure they're out there, but it's not going to be.
And I do have faith in our judicial system, especially for this. I mean, if we want to put politics into the conversation and say we get the most outrageous liberal judge that hates every Republican that walks before him, I would hope that they'd at least see it as an opportunity to watch Republicans fight each other, and tear each other apart,
Well,
and maybe let it
there are
continue.
some good ones, and so we just
So.
hope that by the roll of the dice, you got one of the good ones. Well, I just want to congratulate you. Thank you for picking up the cudgel. Thank you for filing the lawsuit, and you served Britta at the beginning of the festivities Saturday, and that got off to a good start. Her face was just a classic to watch, going, "You're served."
That wasn't planned at all, Chuck.
Well, that was just.
I had asked Eric, so you can't, anybody that serves cannot be a party to the case upon file or upon serving. And so when I originally filed, I intended on it just being myself. Nobody else needs to be part of the circular firing squad that seems to be the legal battles with the Colorado GOP. But so Eric was willing to serve her. I think it probably brought him a little bit of joy, considering, he's being sued by her right now, along with me. But it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. And when we hang up, I will probably, I haven't decided if I'll give Clinda a call back this afternoon or I'll shoot
Oh,
him
you
an email
should.
back.
Oh, you
But
should. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. It'll be worth the conversation. It'll be worth the conversation.
we're in unprecedented times right now, and that's for sure. And
How long was your motion to disqualify?
sorry, what was that?
Your motion to disqualify Glenda from being an attorney in the case?
Did you ask how long that motion is? I think it's about 8 pages.
8 pages. All right.
So I'm working on an email that I'll send out this evening to some supporters. And so I'll send that to you guys if
Yeah, that'd be great.
somehow it gets passed along over to some friends that have another email list, that'd be okay too. But this one, it's interesting to see what's happening and what's coming through here. But I mean, the fact that Clenda, to rehash everything again, but the fact that Clenda represented a defendant in a case and then also represented a plaintiff in a case, that
And he
this to
wants to
me,
represent a client who's fired him.
and exactly, I mean, they just keep piling on. And so when you read the motion to disqualify, I think you'll be entertained. So I'll make sure
I
you get that
will.
this evening.
All right. I look forward to it. Well, thanks for so much for coming on, and thanks for the good job.
Well,
That's
thank
it for
you.
today. That w went fast. It was fun. And we'll be back on Wednesday, which has become Party Wednesday for lack of a Friday. And we'll see everybody then. Take care.